Welcome to everybody. Folks on the call turned off the chimes that tell us when people have entered, so there's going to be far more than we even heard joining in at the beginning. My name is Ann Munson, Director of Professional Development and Membership for NACIS here at our home office in Charlotte, Virginia. NACIS tries to be a one-stop shop for resources and connection for auxiliary services professionals, and we really do want to provide the best in education opportunities for our members based on what they need. And right now, in the midst of revival and educational budgets, we hope that these free virtual roundtables are a useful and easy-to-use resource. Now, there's a whole lot of folks here. In order to avoid sharing any background noise out there on the call, such as people walking into your office or typing notes, please use star 6. That, and then unmute your phone. So you can mute while you're listening with star 6, star 6 again, to be able to ask some questions. Also, you may want to take a moment to either turn off or silence your cell phone, but nothing louder than a cell phone on another call. I've discovered that myself. Now, thanks to Chris, this virtual roundtable is being recorded. Chris, did that work for us?
And it didn't. It did not. Let me try it again and see if I can get. When I hit star 9, it did not make any transfer.
Okay. I'm going to get this recorded. At least take really good notes, and Chris is out there and willing to talk will that have called in. So after the roundtable's complete, we're going to post the NACIS meeting community a phone number that we can call to hear the recording at your leisure. That recording's going to remain available until our next virtual roundtable, which will be September 8th, on the topic of forming green teams. So I'd like to, at this point, welcome from Avisian Inc., editor and publisher of Quorum. Chris founded Avisian Publishing a decade ago and now oversees a suite of 14 identity technology magazines and titles, including the CR80 News, which is a leading campus card industry publication. He's got his bachelor's degree in advertising, a master's in information technology, and has completed his doctoral studies in mass communications. Over the course of all, Chris is going to open up some Q&A time, try and get some discussion going, get some willing callers to share their own stories and experiences, because that's what many of you have called in to learn, not just the topic, but what's going on out there at other institutions. And as a reminder, if you've just joined us, especially if you want to avoid sharing any background, please use star 6 to mute or unmute the phone that you're calling in, and we do ask you to silence your cell phones. But at this time, the housekeeping's over. We can move to the meat of the call. Chris, I'll turn this over to you. Thanks for taking this on.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for joining our discussion today. As Ann said, my name's Chris Quorum. I publish a series of identity technology pubs. And we cover different vertical markets. So we are seeing what's going on in identity from the government space, from the healthcare side, financial, and for more than a decade now, we've been looking at the campus card and identity market for colleges and universities through our CR80 News publication. I worked in the past with university card programs 20-some years ago, and I've worked with a couple of the different vendors. I've consulted with a bunch of different campuses from smaller technical schools to Ivy Leagues on through. So I've been able to watch the card industry and the identity industry on campus grow from a number of angles and locations. So I think it's this perspective that kind of maybe gives me a little different view on this than what the average campus would be seeing today. So it's this changing nature that I want to talk about. What I see is that we're witnessing kind of a convergence of forces that's going to really impact our campus card programs in one of two ways. To use that old tidal wave analogy, either sink us and kind of permanently limit us to being the payment token or the financial token on the campus, but make us largely irrelevant to the bigger things that are happening out there with identity and credentials on the campus. Or it's also an opportunity for us to get involved with our card programs and the discussion on campus and take our importance to a new level. We're going to talk for about an hour. We've got about an hour. I'm going to speak for probably 15 minutes if I can get this all in, and then open up the stage for this Q&A. And I'm really hoping that the virtual roundtable format will let you all or encourage you all to share some personal experiences, because it's going to be as valuable or more than what I can kind of say here. So the idea for the call, to give you a little background, came out of a session that I led at a Campus Card conference in the spring. And most of the people in attendance there were the card program managers, so the folks that likely work with you or even for you on campus running your card programs. And the presentation was kind of scary for a lot of them. And I had a lot of people afterwards say they really didn't like it or they were really worried about it, and then I had equal numbers say that they really thought it was great, but that the discussion needed to be raised to a different level on the campus. They said, you know, we can impact it to an extent, but we'd really like it if our bosses heard this and got behind it and could help too. So that's why I approached Ann about opening up this dialogue with the NACUS membership, and that's what led us here today. So to keep my part of the speaking to a minimum, I'm going to make some pretty wide strokes, some pretty broad statements in terms of where we are as a market and what identity is on a campus. I ask you to give me a little bit of leeway, because certainly these are going to be true to differing degrees for different institutions. But I think that we need this foundation as a way to start the discussion. So again, give me a little bit of leeway in terms of the minute details, because certainly points are arguable, but I think it'll give us a good format to start our roundtable discussion. First, I assume that most of you are from auxiliaries and have some responsibility for the card program on your campus. It's a natural evolution that these programs are many times in auxiliaries. It dates back to our early use of the card for meal plans and other privilege controls. And it may be a chicken or an egg debate, but and whether it's cause or effect, over the years, our card systems and our card system vendors have developed more and more campus card applications to serve auxiliaries, often to the neglect of other components of the campus. We've become transaction systems to serve auxiliary units from dining to bookstores, C-stores, vending, Reaper graphics, parking, etc. And while there are certainly non-auxiliary uses, maybe the library patron identification or some ties into physical access control and things, for the most part, we've been adding over the last 20 years more and more types of financial and privilege transactions to these card programs. We've bounced from online payments to offline payments to online again, from declining balances to stored value methodologies. We've been through debit, we've looked at credit, we're talking prepaid accounts now. But really, all of this is to accomplish the same basic set of financial and privileged services. So this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but while we were coming up with a better way to pay for a bag of Cheetos, other things were happening around us. Little things like massive terrorist attacks, like mass shootings on college campuses, data breaches impacting tens of thousands of students or millions of individual cardholders from the financial perspective. And it wasn't the case before, but in the last 10 years, your institution's need for physical security, true physical security, and logical security, or network and data security, I believe has outpaced the need for transaction and privilege controls. But for good or bad, our campus card programs and the vendors that serve our programs didn't grab the ball. They haven't tried to be the solution to these bigger areas that are impacting our campuses today. So the result, and again, this is where I'm going to make a broad stroke, so I ask for a little bit of leeway. The result on many campuses has been separate trains heading down separate tracks. We in auxiliaries or within the card programs have been working really hard to build ROI for our investment. We've been working really hard to make our programs revenue neutral or to cost neutral, to come up with revenue models and things to help us grow our programs. Maybe this is because of budget constraints. Certainly that's part of it. But maybe it's also because the services that we're delivering maybe aren't as high profile as some of these emerging needs. So some of this money and some of this focus has been going to other areas. At the same time, as we're heading down this track, there's another track or another train, and that's coming out of maybe physical plant or campus safety. The areas that are looking at security into facilities, whether that's dorms or high-profile labs or office buildings. And what's happening in that world is that the realization is coming to that a simple card swipe isn't security. That's access control. It's almost like a privilege control to get you into a building, but there's not security involved there to truly protect facilities. So there's been this look from those groups on that track to say, how do we get to real physical security where we know for sure that it's not just a card that someone picked up, but we actually know who's entering that building and providing good control for that. And then a third track that's kind of been a result of these changes is that IT has been investing in digital identities, in network and data protection, in an array of logical access and security operations. And this is on many campuses been a well-funded enterprise. This is where many of the dollars that might in the past have looked like a good opportunity for our card systems, you know, some of those are the focus is over there with the ID or IT security. So this is where I see the landscape, kind of with these parallel tracks going along, but each person or each group working in different areas. And I think that lays a historical groundwork for our discussion. Again, some campuses are going to be different, and some campuses are going to have already started to merge and get things going on different tracks. But by and large, this is what I see with more and more campuses that I speak to. The second key construct that I think we need to have in place before we start our discussion so that we're all looking at things from the same page, and that's the idea that the card is not an identity. The card and the identity are not the same thing. So we need to break this concept that the card is the actual identity on the campus. We don't have time to do a full discussion of identity and identity management, and it's very ethereal, and there's academics out there who make their careers arguing and debating points for this, but I think there's a basic idea that we can come to and agree on. And that's that the card's not an identity, it's a token that's used to make some claim of identity. At a basic level, an individual can have more than one identity. I'm a publisher of magazines and online publications. I'm a business owner. I'm a dad. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a Facebook user. I'm a blah, blah, blah. An individual can even have more than one identity within an organization or within your institution. I may be a doctoral candidate and a part-time instructor, or I may be a card office employee and an undergrad student. And those identities are treated very differently within the organization. But there needs to be...
This conference is being recorded.
There needs to be, and already is, some degree of an identity management process in place. Now, whether that's a true identity management solution or a series of legacy databases in different departments or even paper files, somehow these identities are being managed today.
Your conference recording has stopped.
I'm not sure if you all are hearing that too, but we've got some audio things happening there. We'll keep going. A credential is a third party's attestation of an identity. So let's say it's the university affirming that Chris is indeed a student or that Chris is a part-time instructor. And though it's not a real strong credential, today's most common on campus is probably that student ID number. And that's what's stored in our campus card. And that card is a token that we use to carry these credentials. So the important point here, I think, from the standpoint of the discussion, is that there's likely lots of tokens on campus. Your card isn't, even though we've all worked for a one card system and been trying to get to this one card, there's likely multiple cards. There's certainly probably some departments issuing one-time password generators for access to networks. There's software cryptographic tokens. Campuses are moving to mobile devices for different authentications. So there's different tokens being issued on different parts of the campus, the card being one of those and a very important one. But I think the idea from this is that just because the card is issued in the card program today doesn't mean that the card would always have to be issued in that out of the campus card office. It could be that the campus card office continued to do everything that it's always done, managing transactions and privilege controls, but that the actual issuance of that plastic and the management of that and the security processes around it could go somewhere else. Likewise, it could very well stay within the card program, and that's kind of the decisions that we need to begin to make. So to summarize my groundwork here before our discussion, I see that the campuses, that many campuses were heading down multiple tracks where we've got auxiliaries and card programs focused on transactions, campus safety or physical plan, et cetera, focused on securing, truly securing facilities and dorms, not with a card swipe, but with some kind of a cryptographic token and a biometric or a PIN or a multi-factor authentication. And then IT focused on the online identity and security. These things happening in not in sync necessarily. And then second, the campus card's not the identity, but rather a token. So with that in mind, it raises some important questions. And that's where I think the meat of our discussion can come about. The first question would be, is it imperative nowadays on a college campus that a single token is issued to students? Or can an institution or can your institution live with multiple cards and tokens? Would it be acceptable if a student, say, gets an ID card from the card program office to use for their payment and privilege controls? Then they get a separate token, maybe it's a key fob, maybe it's a card for accessing buildings in a secure manner, and then another token or a USB key or a one-time password generator or something else for data or network access. Or does that really need to reside on that one credential? It's kind of a, maybe it's a culture question as much as anything, and some would look at it as a customer service question, but there's not a right and wrong answer, I don't believe. I think in some environments, one answer may be better than the other. In another
this
environment,
conference is being recorded.
In another environment, that may be the opposite would be ideal. Now, following on that, if one card or token is the preferred means for your individual institution, the question becomes what department should be responsible for its issuance. Right now, that's happening in the campus card office. But in the future, who wants to take control of this or be forced to take control of the headaches and the challenge of this issuance? Your card program has a lot of pluses for the argument for it doing it. You've got experience. It's got the storefront likely to that's used to seeing students and issuing those cards. Processes in place. Hopefully a customer-centric focus, often more customer-centric focus than some of these other departments would have. But the card's going to be very different when we start to combine true physical access or physical security and true logical security. It's going to be a more complex token or piece of plastic. It's going to have multiple credentials likely that are coming from these various departments or entities on the campus that need to go onto that card. And in order to do that and support it in a secure manner, it's going to need to go beyond some of the early technologies we've used like barcodes and mag stripes. And we're going to have to get into some of the more higher-end credentials and technologies like cryptographic chip cards, and whether those be contact or contactless, and some other advanced technologies, looking at biometrics, things like that. It's also going to demand in the future a more stringent pre-issuance identity vetting process, I believe, to make sure the cards don't get in the wrong hands. As these become more and more valuable and important and used for more and more secure transactions, making sure that the student that this is being issued to is actually the student that's requesting it is going to be more crucial. So it's not going to be the same issuance environment. And then the question, so that again begs that question, is the place we're issuing today the correct place, or should that part of the process live in another area of the campus? I've got ideas myself on this, and I've talked with a lot of people about some different models, but I'd like to kind of open up the floor and get some firsthand insight and ideas from you all. What's happening on your campus with regards to either these separate tracks or maybe the convergence of logical security with the campus card program, with physical security? Is the discussion already happening on campus, and are your card program directors a part of the discussion, or are they on the sidelines while IT is meeting with somebody else to talk about these things, and how do we get them involved? So I would welcome anyone to star six their line there and kind of give us some personal experience or some insight on what's happening on their campus. And I know it's always hard to be the first person.
Hi, this is Audrey Wilson with Angelo State University.
Audrey, how are you?
I'm good.
Thanks.
How are you?
Thanks for being the first person.
Sure, no problem. Well, I just thought I would. I am the card director here at ASU, and conveniently or, enough, report to the chief of police.
Okay.
So we're combining all sorts of access control and identity management with our card as already. And our office is in charge of, like I said, access control. We've got alarms going in. We've got panic alarms. We've got access alarms, door prop, door force. We've got some alarms on equipment, some high-dollar equipment, so that if it's removed, the police get notified. We're putting in more and more readers at our residence halls and also on some of our academic buildings and labs and office spaces. So at our facilities plant would love to go with more card readers on individual residence hall doors. Mm-hmm. It's a money issue, the upfront money cost, that usually when we're building a new residence hall or something, it gets value engineered out, and they want to go with the regular key system.
Right. So. Now, Audrey, did you, when you, I understand reporting to campus safety probably had you more right in line with those decisions from the early days, but how did the discussions begin? Can you share anything about, like, was it, you know, how was it seen that these things should converge and that a single credential on your campus then should be used for at least the physical access and the card program side? Maybe not logical access yet, but any more on
not
that?
Not logical. That's handled all through our IT security. Actually, the card system was under residential programs first, mm-hmm. and then it was its own department, and then reporting to the VP of finance. And 4 years ago, we moved to campus security. I have been the main driver to get access control on various buildings. I've been in this position for 13 years, and ever since we put our first store access with our current system, which is Seaboard, CS Gold, in 2000. And so we've been pushing for the last decade to increase the number of card readers on there. And we have a primarily swipe and pin. So we have one reader on campus that's swipe only at one location, but most of the time our students have to do their swipe their card and then enter a PIN for access.
Very good. And you know, when I talk about the advanced technologies, one of the things that I really have seen out there, and this is across market, it started with the government identity systems and certainly has moved into healthcare because of regulations and things coming into play, but the idea that simple possession of a card really is not security. Possession, if you can grab a card from somebody, swipe it and get into a building, you're electronically enabling a key instead of physically enabling a key. While there's a lot of people that don't believe that a PIN is the best solution, it's a tremendous step in the right direction, I think, in anybody's mind, beyond just a simple card swipe. Because again, all it takes is possession then to get into a facility. And in my mind, if your campus isn't looking at these kind of future things beyond that simple swipe access control today, you're only an incident away from that being a demand that starts to really escalate. So thank you very much, Audrey. That's great to hear. How about
one of the things I'm afraid of is that it's not if, it's when.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly right. And I think we all in this day and age have to be realistic that incidents are going to happen no matter what. So a lot of times it's a risk avoidance kind of thing. But the idea that we can take steps with virtually any system that we're running to go in the right direction, I think, is out there. Now, I believe fully that the day will come when we, probably within all of our lifetimes and careers, when we look back and say, wow, we used to use a magstripe card only to get into dorm rooms, or we used to use a magstripe card and a PIN only to get into dorm rooms, and now, because of the modern world in maybe it's 2013, maybe it's 2023, but that the current environment got to a point where we need some kind of a smart card with a biometric in order to get somebody into an environment, or maybe a smart card PIN and biometric even. So I think that the future needs of all of these things are going to continue to escalate much more rapidly than even they have in the last decade in the coming years. So. Great, thank you. How about anyone else ready to go? And is there, and maybe anybody have experience with getting involved in the logical access discussion on campus, or what's happening with the network side, and is there any play for your card programs in that?
This is Francine Reynolds from University of Richmond.
Thanks, Francine.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Okay, thanks. We have an interesting situation on campus. Currently, our card system is under auxiliaries, and the One Card office is responsible for card access on campus. We have card access on all of the exterior residence halls and are looking at wireless readers for the dorm rooms. Mm-hmm. And what's driving this is the housing office. They want to do away with their key process, and they want wireless readers on the rooms, but they want to now manage that aspect of it. Campus police has voiced their opinion that they'd like to see it all happen in the One Card office, but we're kind of torn between, and we've voiced our opinion to the VP, but it looks like it's going to come out of that office. And they currently do not know anything about administering card access. Mm. Does anybody else on the phone line have any experience with different offices managing different aspects of access?
Hi, this is. Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, this is Steve Gooley at Indiana University. In response to that question, Indiana University in Bloomington is a vast campus, and we've got 10,000-12,000 people that live on campus out of 35,000-40,000 students. And for quite some time, any number of programs, whole educational buildings or individual laboratories have been just installing their own access control systems. But with events of the last, I'd say, probably a decade, 5 to 10 years, university administration's been concerned about these very issues and has been reorganizing itself so that there's an administrative architecture that incorporates realigning the police force and identity management and IT security and what have you into what we all hope is a more coherent structure. it's not enough to try to individually attend to details, I think, is the logic, but to be organized in the way that we go about it, especially given that the Bloomington campus is just one of 7 campuses for the university. We have seen and already started to deal with the different approaches that you see from folks in the world of IT and digital security. They're starting to recognize that simply issuing a one-time token to folks who need system access is certainly a way to do things. But now we're hearing questions like, wouldn't it be nice if you could do that with your identification card? So we've got different technologies that are advancing, and the progress is not consistent across the board. It's useful and positive progress, but as different parts of the of folks in their different disciplines, whether it's IT security or identity management or the police force or the residence halls, who are all working very hard to get new readers on all the doors, but when you've got 1,200 individuals and 600 rooms in a single door or in a single dormitory, the money is an issue, the pace of change is an issue, and slowly over a period of a few years here, we've started to really collaborate a lot more usefully. Most everyone was working in their own silos for a couple of years, just trying to wrestle with these issues, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And Now we're a little bit more coordinated. The IT security people have met with the card office here separately. We've also met with identity management and find we have a lot in common. And that seems to be the starting point with identity management. How are you really going to tell who is who? Then comes, what kind of credentials can we actually envision? It's such an interesting melange of issues, because you can't do everything overnight. And as you're working on what you can do, the technology is changing. So we're looking at a migration path, really. We're probably going to see it take 5, 6, 7 years just to get physical access under control. But I'm happy to report that the participants are all seeming to be aware that this is a progress over time, not just something that an entity, identity management or the police department or some other single point of contact will take over and manage everything. At least in our world, it's such a vast undertaking that it really becomes a matter of doing what you can today using the technologies that make sense. A case in point is our card shop is all mag stripe right now. Just in Bloomington has been issuing nothing but mag stripes. We know we're going to have to issue contactless cards, but we'll have to keep a mag stripe on the back for quite a number of years just to live with the older technologies that have been put in last year.
Yep.
5 years from now, those will be the old technologies. So it's like a galactic project management exercise.
that crosses every department on the campus. Steve, I think your point's perfect, though, and that's really, you know, getting at the goal of what I'm when I talk about this to whether it's the card office groups or you folks or others. It's that the discussion needs to start and the planning needs to start, and it needs to cross the boundaries of the silos and things, or you're going to have these separate tracks continue. And in the end, you might have great outcomes at the end of each track, but you're going to have a very expensive and cumbersome process to manage, as opposed to if it was looked at from an enterprise level and the groups got together and said, you know, we need some kind of ID management, we need some kind of provisioning and credential issuance. But then, back to Francine's point, at that point, if the process is in place correctly, it could be very possible that these dispersed groups like housing could issue the credential that rides, when I say credential, the numeric indicator or whatever, the cryptographic indicator that rides on a card that determines whether you have access to their dorm rooms. But IT may issue some credential that could ride on that same card or could be on something different, but that could be there to be issued from their side, and it would all run through a central provisioning area and a central ID management area. So I think that's I think getting these discussions like that started on campus is the important thing. And I think the fact that probably on a lot of more campuses than we realize, these discussions have started, it may just be that the people I usually deal with on a day-to-day basis, the campus card administrators, just haven't gotten into these discussions. They haven't been a part of them yet for their own choice or just for not inserting themselves, I'm not sure. But so both of those are great points, because I think they tie into this whole discussion of, you know, what do we need to do? And then, as Francine pointed out, what are some of the challenges with if there is some decentralized issuance? So I don't want to monopolize the time. So who else has something to add to either Francine or Steve or Audrey's points there?
This is Paul Murphy with Sinclair Community College in Dayton, Ohio.
Hey, Paul.
And we've been handling this type of situation. We're looking at the right card for the phase-in for our access control system. And we've chosen the I-Class card first out of HID, mm-hmm. but we've been looking at the MyFair option. And from what I'm getting, the MyFair is produced by Philips, and it's less headaches down the way since HID is proprietary. And I didn't know, access systems aside, has anyone had any issues with the cards themselves? Because we can build a very expensive card, and that's what we're wanting to fight against. We want to have the right card for our campus, but we don't want to have so much in this card that it gets to be $20 a card. So what's your thoughts on how to build the right card for the right access system?
I'll leave that one for an audience member if somebody's got input on real firsthand experience.
Well, this is Steve Gooley again at Indiana in Bloomington. And we have not yet adopted a contactless card. The direction that we're headed is toward the MyFair card, the EV1 type card with Deathfire protocol.
The Deathfire, that's the model we're looking at. Yes.
Yeah, that seems to have a lot of appealing characteristics, and it's a useful technology and so forth. The concern that we have is with cost, and our card shop issues either 20,000-25,000 cards a year with the replacement cards. And we're not too anxious to get to a $4 to $6 card.
Exactly.
Our logic thus far, it's not been supported by the different participants, but everyone right now is trying to dance politely and not avoid stepping on one another's toes as we all learn where the issues are. But we're hopeful that we can get a relatively low cost contactless card, a vanilla card, if you will, that we can issue broadly. And then if an individual needs a particularly elaborate or if not exotic, at least higher order credential, then collect the vanilla card and reissue the more expensive card that has more layers of utility. An individual student, for instance, that spends 1 year in the dormitories and then moves out into town, and really doesn't participate in secure research labs and what have you, may not need much other than just a proper, usefully designed authentication, some kind of a credential that gets them around. But someone who has access to secure computing facilities, financial systems, and so forth, maybe they need a $6 card.
And that's what we're facing with right now. Do we invest into a full disbursement to every student? We're talking 30,000 of these very expensive cards. One of the other issues when you were talking about system integration, we have our access control system that would work for our doors and parking area, and then we have our Blackboard system for our students' funds. And there's not really one system that I've seen that can operate a smart card and do everything on campus. And that's another question there. Has anyone integrated their card on their campus and had one control, one system? Because I haven't found anything out there that can do that yet. And when I'm looking at what happens when a student loses a card, we may have to go in right now to four different systems to deactivate and reactivate. So what's your thought on that, Steve?
The way that we handle that here is, in a way, it's decentralized, but Indiana University went to a central identification database some time back. So our campus card shop uploads replacement and current status information to the central database, and then folks that run secure access systems or athletic and recreational facilities or the library or whoever simply tap into the current snapshot that's available hour by hour at the central database. And that's been very helpful. Even the remote campuses and around the state can tap into that. So whether I wasn't privy to the decision to take that approach, but it's proving to be a great resource with this technological issue. Chris, one thing you mentioned earlier that I think I want to toss out before I get out of everyone's way is there are cultural differences that I've noticed in this discussion. The IT people, the IT security, the identity management folks have very legitimate interests in this whole question. But as you noted early on, they come from a world where money comes from God.
Yep.
What we are just right now discussing, the most recent issue here, is the rubber meets the road, and with it comes a cost and the best way to do things. Those cultural differences have to be managed too. It's not just the technology.
Great, great point. Yeah, and I've along, and this is where I jump back and forth between putting my I used to be a university employee to my I used to be a vendor hat and change it willy-nilly depending on the situation. But putting the vendor hat back on, I kind of listen to that discussion about card costs and think to myself, if your card is going back to, and I certainly mean this tongue-in-cheek when I said the bag of Cheetos, but if your card's buying a bag of Cheetos and you told me that you want $4 for that card, I'd say you're crazy. But if your card is buying a bag of Cheetos, it's locking down the data structures that make the university function, and you're protecting life and facilities of your faculty, staff, and students with that card, I'd give you 10 times $4 for that card. So I think it's kind of, it goes back into the discussion of this coming from more of an enterprise-wide approach and looked at, as opposed to it coming out of our current environment of we run the card program and we're trying to justify our card costs. I think it's this the opportunity here when we talked about the tidal wave sinking or floating us, I think the opportunity to float way up to the top potentially is there, in that the potential for our systems to become a key component in these mission critical, you know, life critical kind of issues on the campus is there for the taking or for the getting involved in if we choose to do it. And I think that completely then changes the difference about whether the money has to come from revenues generated by creatively marketing our campus card programs to the monies from God that the IT department sometimes is looked at getting. So I think again, that's a cultural shift, but one that we could use to our advantages as well.
I would agree. I think that's a great point, Chris. Thanks.
Okay, what else do we have out there? Who else is experiencing similar things or different things? Big campus, small campus? Any specifics about, we've talked about kind of the logical security in concept, but not really heard of anybody who said, you know, we actually are doing some form of logical security or network security out of our card office. At least I don't think I heard that. I know there's some programs in place around the country that they're starting to do that. I'm not sure if anyone's with us today, but it's a converged, you know, one of the things that I've seen happening in that route that I think is changing kind of these cultural differences too. In the early days, we almost saw this fight, and this would have been more in corporate America probably than on campus, but I'm sure it happened on campus too, and that was the physical security people versus the IT security people as to who would kind of control this converged credential in, say, a big corporate setting. And their languages were very different too, because the, you know, IP addressable devices and internet protocols and things were the lifeblood of the IT side, and the physical security people were used to wires and Wigan protocols and single-way communications to field panels and things. But as the physical security world has kind of changed, there's more and more of the readers that you're issuing on campus for physical security, even for vending readers and things like that, that are moving to the IP addressable protocols, which means they're starting to live in that IT environment. So the difference between the languages is clearing up some. That doesn't necessarily mean that the battle over who will control will change, but anybody ready? Because I can keep talking. Well, let me address something then, and please feel free to jump back into that discussion, but it's something else I did want to talk about, kind of what I envision as a potential future structure. And this is one that's great in a presentation where there's slides. It's a little harder to describe via voice only, but let me give it a shot. For years, when I've given presentations about campus card programs, we've got this slide, and it's a kind of the traditional hub and spoke model, where in the center is the campus card, and then you've got all these lines going off the campus card, and you've got payments and vending and copiers and laundry and privilege control and library and physical access, all kind of going off this center point that is the card. The reality, even though we've liked to think that that's what we're doing, I kind of feel like we're doing more three things. In the card offices, we're doing the issuance, we're doing our privilege controls and our financial systems. And then there's a tie out to an access control system, kind of in a way that Francine described, where it's being used somewhere else, but maybe somebody else is really controlling it. We're just providing a number and maybe helping with a revocation if a card is lost or stolen or something. I think the future ideal model, and again, this is probably something that will grow as I continue to look at this and as I talk to more and more schools like you all who are starting to live through it, but I see the future being at the top this identity management kind of committee or group on a campus, much like Steve described that they're talking about there at Indiana now. Below that group is, and it may be that it's within the group, or it may be that it's still within our card program or someplace else, but there's this responsibility for provisioning or issuing tokens. And maybe that token today is a Magstripe card, tomorrow is a contactless card, something we haven't even begun to discuss, but that is becoming all of the rage across markets now, is the discussion of how long is it going to be before our smartphone holds our credential for physical access control, for logical access, for payment, things like that. So the day when the token changes from a card or from a Magstripe card to a contactless card to a OTP token to a mobile phone to a whatever we're using 25 years from now, you know, to me the idea of this layer or responsibility for provisioning, regardless of what kind of token it is an important layer that could be a skill set or an expertise set that's developed within the organization somewhere, whether it's within this ID management group or whether it's within the card system as we now have that responsibility, but we grow to continue to add functionality and abilities to that. And then we've got all these the spokes now. If that's kind of the hub, is this identity management and then the provisioning, then we've got all the spokes that flow off of that, which would be, you know, physical security, and maybe housing's physical security is separate, and logical security coming out of IT, and privilege control and payment systems coming out of what today is the campus card office, what tomorrow may be just the privilege and payment systems office, and card, the issuance part of that may have gone somewhere else, or it may be that still is part of that. But I think there's kind of going to be less the traditional hub and spoke model that we've discussed, and a little bit more of this top-down identity management at the top. There needs to be kind of an enterprise-wide decision and rules structure put in place for how we're going to operate on the campus across entities, and that will solve some of the challenges and things that Francine mentioned that Richmond is experiencing with who issues this credential and do we let somebody else get in there. You know, if the rules are in place, we should be able to get to a point where we have decentralized the ability for someone to request the addition of a credential to our token, whether that token's the card or a contactless card or a mobile phone, and then still manage from a central location the revocation. When a phone gets lost or a card gets lost, to be able to hit a button that then goes out and tells all five of the different entities on campus that issued a credential to that system needs to revoke that credential. So I think you can still get to, with proper procedures in place, that we haven't really been forced to build in the past, but I think we're going to be forced to build in the future, we can get to this decentralized use but centralized kind of management and procedures model there. So any thoughts on that or feelings? I certainly don't expect that everyone says, oh, yeah, I think you're right, Chris, but...
Chris, this is Martha Davidson at Duke University. One question, when you talked about kind of the top of that model going forward, the identity of a management committee, ID management committee, who all do you think are the representatives that best cover all of the geography of campus to have the right representation at the table for that high-level management?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess where I usually come from my side, again, because I'm dealing mostly with the the card system folks as a start. What I'm always preaching is make sure you're a part of it, and I'm not talking to you specifically, but to your card program people, to say make sure that there's discussion at the table, either from their bosses, if that came out of auxiliaries or someplace else, but that they're not sitting on the sidelines. Obviously, I think at a core of that committee has got to be, you know, representation from the executive departments and IT, the physical security and safety. And I think a lot of times, or too often maybe, the card program side of that has been left out of those discussions. And I hate to say it, since this is my industry, but I kind of feel like we may have caused some of that ourselves, and we've been relegated into this position of, oh, these guys are too worried about how do I get my card off campus so that we can use it to buy something at Subway, as opposed to while we're over here in IT trying to protect multi-million-dollar grants and research projects and things like that. So yeah, those guys are doing a fine job with what they're doing, but you know, this is a discussion to be had between the president's office and IT, or between the president's office, maybe the campus safety and IT or something. So I think we need to make sure we get a seat at that table, I guess, would be probably the extent of where my knowledge or ability to weigh in on that would end.
Yeah, we're going through a unique time here. We actually have our reorganization of a whole lot of auxiliary units, mm-hmm. And our card office has moved under IT now, which is a new animal, so to speak, of us trying to figure out how to make all this work well together.
Yep.
So we have the IT representation at the table in Duke Card as part of that, but it's also making sure that we get the expertise and the years of experience at the table as well.
Yep. Well, and that's one of my closing points that I'll throw out now instead of saving it till the close. I think you're exactly right. I think the key that might be being missed when we're not when the card program, and Duke Card's a perfect example because you've done as much with that card as anybody out there has done with cards. So to not include that expertise in the discussion, the fact that the campus isn't coming to the card office is going, hey, wow, you know, campus card offices and provision of campus cards over the years has been looked at from every industry I work in as a model for how to get a multifunction card out there that does all kinds of things and be able to manage it well. Government looks at it. Financial issuers have looked at it over the years. Corporate America says, wow, I wish we could do as good a job as these campus card programs are doing on that. So the fact that these discussions on campus wouldn't be coming to our offices saying, hey, you know, come in here and tell us the lessons you guys have learned, because you've been through it all. You've had the people who won't take their hat off to have their picture taken, and you've had to work through that. You've had the people who, you know, sent somebody else in to get an ID in their name that they could use just because they wanted to be able to get into the Duke Rec Center because they wanted free gym access or something. So we've dealt with all of the things that if our experience isn't brought into this discussion, they're going to have to learn the hard lessons again that we've learned over the years. So that's key to my point of getting us involved and or forcing ourselves to get involved. Do you see yes?
One other concern we had with decentralization is we have the CS Gold system. And what happens in an emergency type situation where you've got one system managing exterior doors and a possible different system managing interior doors? How does one coordinate locking down or any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are systems that are well integrated, and this is where it would be. That's a great question to talk to your vendor about, because there almost every card system vendor that I've worked with, and almost every true security system vendor out there, would have the ability to revoke or turn off a credential both at the exterior doors and the interior doors, assuming the interior doors have a real-time connection, so either a wireless or a wired connection. Now, in the offline interior door environment, certainly that's not as easy a process to accomplish, because someone's got to visit those doors or use kind of those those hybrid online-offline networks that use the card to deactivate other cards, but that's getting beyond what we need to talk about. But I think there are ways certainly to click to revoke a card in a central system and have that automatically transmitted to these external decentralized systems to revoke that credential in those systems as well. It just takes more of a planning and system integration effort at the outset, and it's harder to accomplish when you've got a bunch of disparate systems that have been sitting there for multiple years, and we're not envisioned to have to communicate in that way. But it certainly can be done. Anybody experienced with that? And I'm waiting for Ann to break in and say that we're almost out of time, too. We are running real close. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to share that's in addition to what we've talked about? All right, let me do my quick wrap up. 30 seconds. I appreciate you taking the time. Great discussions and learning experience for me, which is what I hoped I would get, is some counter opinions and maybe some likewise opinions to what I'm starting to look at here, because I think it's a really important topic for us all to be getting our card program managers involved in and ourselves. I think if I had like my law, how everybody's got the Moore's law and the so-and-so's law, if I had a law, my law would be your organization's need to securely and efficiently authenticate users for physical and virtual transactions and interactions is going to grow exponentially with time. And that's regardless of if you have a rise in your population numbers or a rise in the level or the types of services you deliver. It's just the real world, and we've got to deal with it. You can't avoid it. So I think this concept of the campus-wide discussion and how we can, who's going to be responsible for component parts and how we can play in it is really key. We can't answer this, as Steve and a couple of you mentioned, this isn't an overnight thing, but it's a process that either needs to start on your campus right away or has already started. And so if you're not a part of the process, if you don't have a seat at the table, try and get your card program director in there, or if that's your responsibility personally, find out where that's happening and get in there and start the discussions and see how you can play. So with that, Ann, I'll turn it back to you, and if you've got closing housekeeping comments, and again, I appreciate everybody taking the time.
Sounds great. Thanks for taking the time to facilitate this discussion on this important and kind of new topic out there. I know people are going to have some questions for you. Do you mind when I post the playback information if I post your contact info?
Love to. And anytime anyone has any ideas, any case studies, any issues, we'd love, as a publication that covers campus card stuff, we're always looking for anything related to that kind of initiatives or program. So I'd love to hear, happy to answer questions if I can, and learn from you all too. So please.
Great. You may get a couple more questions than you typically would, as everybody out there heard, technology isn't necessarily our friend today. We probably got the recording actually working 18 minutes into it, so I apologize for that introduction missing. And, Chris, you might get some questions about your premise that you set there at the beginning of the call.
Sure.
Yay, technology. So, again, to our attendees, thanks for joining us. I'll be posting the playback info and Chris's contact info on the NACUS community this afternoon. And feel free to share that with your co-workers at your institution. The NACUS membership is for your whole institution, and we'd love for you to share. That recording will be available until our next virtual roundtable. It will be September 8th at noon Eastern on forming green teams. So do make sure you go ahead and take a listen between now and then if you wanted to play it back. And if your virtual roundtable topic that you'd like to see covered, or if there's one you'd like to facilitate, we'd love to get you involved. You can contact me at anne@nacus.org or simply info@nacus.org, and they will find me. Chris, see you again. Everybody out there, you are part of a group of about 40 people, so this is a heavily attended topic and one of great interest out there. So thank you for your time.
Thank you all. And I will throw in there, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, @avisian.com. It's A-V-I-S, as in Sam, IANNancy.com. If there's any questions before the, sometimes they come to mind immediately, but they might be lost by the time the information is posted later today. Don't hesitate to shoot any questions or ideas my way.
Fantastic. Thanks, everybody. Have a great afternoon.
Bye-bye.